grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Good morning and welcome to Christ Church Cathedral. Most especially if you happen to be visiting with us today, a special welcome to you. It's great to have guests with us. If you're here with members of a young family, don't feel that you need to stay put in your pew all the time. If you need to get up and walk around a bit, that's quite all right to do. We also want to say a word of welcome to those who are joining us by way of the YouTube live stream. Rick is on the video today, and he'd be happy to hear from you by way of the chat. So welcome to you. Or if you're with us on the audio live stream or the audio podcast, we welcome you as well. Will you be seated for a moment, please? In addition to what you'll find in your bulletin, just a couple of mentions of things that are of importance. First of all, we're remembering our bishop's wife, Debbie, in prayer this week as her father, Jack Prince, died earlier in the week. His funeral is scheduled for tomorrow, Monday, in Petticoatiac. And so we remember Debbie and Blanche and members of their family at a sad time. Also, Carol Gregory, her brother Alan Reed died earlier this week, and that was in Ottawa. So Carol, our condolences to you and to all the members of your family. We'll pray for Alan today. And I'll maybe just mention that to Cheryl. Where is Cheryl? Yes. So if we could pray for Alan during the prayers, that would be great. And another thing that we might want to take note of is that Matthew Rogers was at Regional Hospital earlier this week for open heart surgery. And that was on Thursday, but it went well, and he's doing fine. So Betty and members of his family would also appreciate our prayers. You'll note in the bishop and chapter news that, a number of things, but among those, that we're still seeking nominations for one member of bishop and chapter and five persons to act as delegates to synod. So if those are anything that you might be interested in or can point the nominating committee in their direction, that would be most appreciated. And this afternoon at 4:00 is choral evensong, so you may want to keep that in mind. We have a couple of words from, there he is. Gary is going to talk a little bit about Pancake Supper, and Kurt's going to give us a little bit of a summary of the Lenten lineup this year. And so, Gary, as you come forward, is there anything else that needs announcing? Okay, Gary, you're on. Thank you.
Thank you, and good morning. If I haven't had the pleasure of meeting you, I'm Gary Barford, and I'm part of the Cathedral Guild of St. Joseph, the Holy Joes. I'd like to, if I could, draw your thoughts back a little over a year ago. Shrove Tuesday last year was in February, and as always, we were gathered over in the hall for the pancake supper. The pancakes were perfectly cooked. And when you slathered butter and syrup over them, it was just amazing. The beans and sausages were delicious. And if you still had room, there was homemade gingerbread with homemade lemon sauce and cream, if you wanted to go that far. Well, except for one fellow who insisted on dumping molasses over his. He'd be nameless, but you recognize him afterwards because his mustache was all covered in molasses. Anyway, it was a wonderful occasion. The Holy Joes are doing it again this year. 9 days from now, on the 4th of March, that's a Tuesday. Shrove Tuesday is always on a Tuesday. And you can help two ways. Number one, you can show up at the hall on the 4th between 4:30 and 6:30. And for a free will donation, you can partake of what I just described, because we haven't lost our touch over the year. And you'll enjoy a social event as well, perhaps the social event of the entire cathedral calendar year. Surpasses even the social benefits of our annual meeting. So you can help by showing up and supporting us, but we are just 9 days away and we are still short a few people. We need about a half dozen more to help us serve the meals. If you'd like to help us with that, I'll be here after the service, and or you can phone the cathedral office, leave a message, or talk to Kirsten, and let us know that you're willing to help. Doesn't take any particular skill, any special. Basically, if you can carry 6 full-size plates on one hand, you could be a server. Anyway, I thank you for your time. And I look forward to a little more help from that angle, and I look forward to seeing all these smiles on the 4th between 4:30 and 6:30 in the hall. Thank you.
Thanks, Gary. 6 plates, or you can take 6 trips. And age is no barrier. Kurt, if you'd like to speak with us.
Good morning. I think Jeffrey knows what he's doing to have Gary come and get everybody warmed up here. It's a tough act to follow. I won't take up too much of your time, I hope, this morning, but what I would like to do, and I'm delighted so to do, is to call your attention to your purple insert in your package today. So if you could grab that and have a look, the single page purple insert, which outlines and delineates our upcoming lineup of Lenten program adventures, what we call the Adlentures. So the 2025 edition of Adlentures through the cathedral. And as is our custom and tradition, we have a wonderful variety of offerings, something on every day of the week, and even some things on Saturdays this year. And so I'll commend that insert to your attention and a more careful reading, perhaps at any time except during the sermon, of course, today. But I do want to call attention to two special new opportunities this year, fresh opportunities this year. And the first is to a twofold opportunity to engage in the study of the bishop's recommended Lenten text, which is Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer. Looks like this. And we are actually offering two different opportunities to engage a study of this book. And they are happening respectively on Monday afternoon. So Mondays beginning on March 10th in the afternoon, from 2 to about 3 o'clock across the street at the Cathedral Hall boardroom. So this is an in-person and hybrid option. So that's one for folks who prefer an in-person version and or might be interested in tuning in remotely. That study is going to be led by our very own Cheryl Jacobs. But if that one is not available to you for scheduling or other reasons, there's a second group that will be moving through the same book on Wednesday evenings between 6:30 and 8 p.m. via Zoom, and that group will be facilitated by Sean Branch on behalf of the diocese. So if you're interested in either or both of those studies, you can get your hands on this book through the cathedral office. Kirsten has some there, and they're for sale for $20 each. If that's a prohibitive cost and folks are interested in joining one of the studies, just be in communication with me or Jeffrey or Kirsten about that, and we'll make necessary arrangements. That shouldn't be a problem. And the other distinctive offering this year is on the backside of your purple page, which is to just call your attention to a Saturday evening option on four specific Saturdays, the 15th and 22nd of March, and the 5th and 12th of April. In the evenings on those Saturdays, we're going to be screening the 8 episodes of the series The Chosen and the 4th season of The Chosen. Some of you may remember in seasons past, we've offered the first three screenings of the first 3 seasons of The Chosen, and we're continuing this year with the 4th, which is a particularly strong Lenten season. It gets a bit heavier and more involved this season, and we'll wrap up the 8th episode wraps up just as Jesus is entering into Jerusalem. And so it's timed perfectly this season so that our last screening is the Saturday before Palm Sunday. So just a special invitation to that. And the names of the folks who are facilitating or coordinating each of the groups is on your page. And those folks would be happy to hear from you if you're interested in participating in any. As is our custom, I just invite you to take on maybe just one new thing this Lent, if you're able to, and to think of Lent, yes, as a time of giving things up, but thinking about that as making space for taking on something new, something that you can add into your life of devotion or study and gathering together with the other faithful. So look forward to joining as many of you as possible on some of our Adlentures this year. Thank you.
Thank you, Kurt. We'll continue on with the Holy Eucharist. Today we're using the green-colored Book of Alternative Services, and we continue with the Glory to God, which you'll find on page 186 as we stand to sing.
Thank you. God, your Son, revealed in signs and miracles the wonder of your saving love. Renew your people with your heavenly grace, and in all our weakness, sustain us by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me," and they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty.' And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them, and after that his brothers talked with him." The word of the Lord.
Thank you. reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? Fool, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And as for what you sow, you do not sow the body that is to be, but a bare seed, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a physical body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the physical, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so are those who are of the dust, and as is the man of heaven, so are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we will also bear the image of the man of heaven. What I am saying, brothers and sisters, is this: flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Jesus said, "But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." The Gospel of Christ.
If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus continues his Sermon on the Plain today, extending his teaching about what living in the light of the realm of God means. The Beatitudes we heard last Sunday opened the topic of what an upside-down world looks like. Blessed are those poor, hungry, weeping, and unpopular. The Beatitudes make it necessary to do a double take on the core values of those who follow the way. Jesus further teaches with practical examples that should serve to rouse listeners of the gospel from a sleepy complacency where we make assumptions about how it's necessary to behave. We live in a world where many face anguish. It's a world full of danger and threat, where many struggle to survive, faced with illness, lack of work or resource, who slide into addiction or are hit with unexpected catastrophic loss. What can make a difference in all of those circumstances is us. But much of the world isn't operating on gospel wisdom right now. Now, I probably need not state the obvious, but I will. At the moment, thanks to the possibility of instant communication, it's possible for rhetoric to shape reality, whether it's based in truth or not. It's not necessary to look to the playground to find an example of a bully. One only needs to look in the direction of the world stage in politics. Citizens gather in crowds to cheer them on, even when the decisions made on their behalf will eventually challenge their own prosperity and maybe even threaten their very survival. And if you're like me, you're standing and asking the question, what's going on? The way the world works is there is ever only one winner. Take for yourself what you want whenever you can. The person with the most toys wins. Competition needs to be ruthless. Never admit defeat, even when it requires a lie. Compassion is a sign of weakness. Revenge is sweet. What goes around comes around. Well, the teaching of Jesus hits back hard. The gospel way is not one based on retribution. Although it's tempting, don't deal with a bully by becoming a bully yourself. Turn the other cheek. When someone asks for your coat, don't even withhold your shirt. Lend and expect nothing in return. Do as you would have others do to you. Love your enemies, Jesus says. The Sermon on the Plain has never been a text to guide ruthless business practice. The snippet from the Genesis saga of Joseph that we read this morning is paired with the gospel today for good reason. If you haven't read the Joseph story lately, it's a good read, and it really rivals any work of fiction you might have on your bedside table. Genesis chapters 37 to about 46. We read it in year 2 of the daily office readings during Lent. This year we're in year 1, so we'll have to wait until next. But we get a little summary this morning. Joseph, the youngest of 12 sons of Jacob, later to be called Israel, was favored by his father. He had various skills, not least of which was being an interpreter of dreams. He was bright and capable, so much so that his brothers were jealous. You might remember that one of his gifts was that interpretation of dreams, and that Because of his special gifts, Joseph's father gave him the Technicolor dream coat. His brothers dumped him down a well, smeared his coat with blood, and returned it to his father. And Jacob mourned the loss of his son. But merchants drew him from the well and sold him as a slave in Egypt. He became a servant in the house of Pharaoh and eventually rose to a position of management in the highest regard. When famine struck, Joseph's good management had put Egypt in a position where enough food had been stored. Jacob sent his sons to plead with Pharaoh's house for food. And they didn't know him at first, but Joseph knew them. He welcomed them with open arms, and with the rest of his family, Jacob settled in the land of Goshen. Despite the wrong that had been done to him, Joseph saved his own flesh and blood. The underdog Joseph becomes the hero. Now, that's a severely abbreviated version. The point of the story is that when most would expect Joseph to get his revenge, instead, he's learned lessons of generosity and forgiveness. He doesn't just ignore the wrongs done to him, he actually sees his circumstances in a positive light and interprets them to have been sent by God himself. God puts us where we need to be to fulfill his good purposes in us. Sometimes we can be quick studies, and sometimes it takes a lifetime. What goes around does not necessarily come around. Returning evil for evil just perpetrates more evil. Revenge, or an eye for an eye philosophy, while tempting, serves only the individual dishing it out. What would it mean if everyone first sought to treat others as they wish to be treated? It would be an upside-down world. We would be living in a different realm. What would it mean if the Christ ruled all our hearts? It would be the world for which we pray, "Thy kingdom come on earth." The world the way God would have us make it be. Now, of course, there are a couple of theological problems here worth noting, and at the heart of one of those is verse 39. If someone strikes you, turn the other cheek. I hardly think Jesus is suggesting that we should ignore abusive behavior. Those who strike need to know in no uncertain terms that it's unacceptable and that there are consequences. Turning the other cheek may, maybe even should, mean offering the other in defiance. I don't hear Jesus suggesting we should roll over and play dead. In the face of evil, we're called to resistance, not compliance. Second, we need to remember that despite our good intentions, there are plenty of examples from church history when even the preaching of love and grace couldn't overshadow the powers that be, even in the church itself. The church has perpetrated its share of injustice, including the Crusades, anti-Semitism, executions for religious, political reasons, blindness to abuse, and even support of the Ku Klux Klan. We do ourselves a disservice when we fail to tell the truth. One commentator of this passage has said that most congregations respond to this passage from Luke in much the same way as her children react to a plate of cooked spinach. Regardless of how the nutritional value is explained, it still somehow doesn't make everyone want to dig in. No one pulls themselves out of bed on a cold Sunday morning and says to themselves, "I really need to hear a firm challenge today. I'm really looking forward to how Jesus is going to call me out of my complacency." Even when we know these words are tied to a culture of a different time, that doesn't make these words of Jesus go down any easier. Perhaps we would have been better if he had just left them off the menu. Who can get excited about having to love an enemy? And it's true that congregations fill stadiums to hear sermons on three easy steps to love and five paths to a better life, says Vaughn Crowe Tipton. If Jesus had preached either of those sermons on the Mount, Constantine would have been born into a Christian home and baptized as a child, he says. There is a vast difference between what we want and what we need. The words today are not a recipe for self-help, intended to make us feel better, although that's not entirely out of the question. They are rather a recipe for disaster, because the very idea of forgiveness is radical and powerful. It runs against our thinking, our inclinations, our desires, our will. But perhaps that's what drew the psalmist to write, "Put your trust in the Lord and do good. Do not fret yourself because of evildoers. Do not be jealous of those who do wrong, for they shall soon wither like the grass." Put your trust in the Lord and do good. We'll continue in the Book of Alternative Services on page 188. And as we stand, let us confess our faith as we say, "We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made. Of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified.
He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
That we may see God's presence in our lives and even the lives of those we would call enemy, let us offer to God the needs of the whole world, saying, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In our cycles, church cycles of prayer today, we remember La Igreja Episcopal Anglicana do Brasil, their primate Marina Rosa dos Santos Basota. We remember the Anglican Church of Canada and our acting primate Anne, the National Indigenous Archbishop Chris, and the Anglican Council of Indigenous Peoples, the Diocese of Ho and the people there, and Bishop Matthias, the Diocese of Yukon, Bishop Leslie Wheeler Dame, Archbishop David, Dean Jeffrey, and all our clergy and staff. Living God, you spoke to your people of old. Give to your church ears to hear your voice speaking in our day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for the nations of the world, for leaders and for heads of global corporations. Break down all dividing walls of hostility and let not anger consume us. May your kingdom of justice and mercy come. We pray too for places experiencing the ravages of climate change. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, in Jesus, you called us to sacrificial love. Enable us to serve all those in need, the poor, the homeless, the sick, and the dying. Today, we pray especially for those on our cathedral list, Donna, Charles, Jean, Pat, Dwight, Sue, Skylar, Aaron, Carolyn, Jacob, Stephanie, Neil, Brooklyn, Richard, David, Janice, Dolph, David, Maureen, Heather, Cooper, Jeff, Lorraine, Savannah, Matt, and Sasha. Any you are praying for? We remember with thanksgiving the lives of Jack and Alan. Pray for their rest in God and for comfort for their families. Lord, in your mercy. And on this Freedom Sunday, Lord, we pray for all those who are victims of human trafficking, people lured from their homes and families, people deceived while trying to find a better life, people who are desperate to trust anyone. Help us to be more vigilant and watchful, to be aware of those who may need our help and those who do not know where help may lie. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we bear your image. Help us to walk in step with your life-giving spirit in us, that we may show by our lives and words the good news of Jesus. Keep us from fretting and anger and complacency. And keep us faithful to pray for our family and friends to come and find you. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, we trust in you, and we offer these prayers through your name, that of our Redeemer and example. Amen.
And on page 191, at the middle of the page, let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent.
For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Merciful God, accept all we offer you this day. Lead us to love you with all our heart and to love all people with your perfect love. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Great Thanksgiving and Eucharistic Prayer is number 3
on page 198. You're encouraged to remain standing during the prayer, but if you find you need to be seated or you would rather kneel, you're certainly welcome to do so. Page 198.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, gracious God, Creator of heaven and earth. You have revealed your eternal plan of salvation and have shown your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the light of all people. Therefore, with angels and archangels, we raise our voices in joyful praise, to proclaim the glory of your name.
Give thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, you do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation.
By whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I am the bread of life, says the Lord. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are they who trust in him. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
As we stand, let us pray. Gracious God, in the Eucharist, we celebrate your love for us and for all people. Grant that, strengthened by these holy gifts, we may show your love in our lives and know its fulfillment in your presence. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us pray.